Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I saw the Pac-12 conference has hired a new commissioner, George Kilovkov. I had his name down last week.
Yeah.
And then the weekend happened.
Kilovkov. Yeah.
He said phonetic, but even when I look at it, I'm looking at a lot of consonants and not enough vowels, and so my brain wants to go Kliavkov. But George K. Is the new commissioner. I've heard some good things about him over the weekend. I did talk to some people that he's worked with on other projects. Everybody to a person says he's a collaborator, smart, he knows how to do big deals. That'll all work well. And I want to get sort of the take from around the conference. Josh Newman covers Utah football, basketball, all things Utah in Salt Lake for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's joining us now. George Kliavkov is named commissioner. Josh, what was the reaction there in Salt Lake?
I guess it was a little bit of surprise to start. I mean, look, the guy has no experience in college athletics. No experience in academia, no experience on a college campus. So from that standpoint, it came as a bit of a shock, and then the shock wears off, and then we weren't shocked anymore because this is the Pac-12, and, you know, we saw what happened with Larry Scott and his lack of experience in college athletics. So from that standpoint, not a shock. I think I'm optimistic just because of the things you said. You know, you said that you've spoken to people who have worked with him, and you've done your due diligence. I've done the same. So, smart guy. Clearly, this is a play in terms of, you know, the media rights negotiations that are coming down the pike. So, if he can deal with, you know, the college campuses and the athletic departments, or if he's at least smart enough to hire people to help him with the college campuses, yeah, I'm optimistic that this, you know, that this could work.
I think it's really challenging to hire somebody to be the commissioner of these 12 entities that are all different, Josh, because I even look at Oregon and Oregon State in our state here, and I go, gosh, you know, what they would value in a commissioner is very different than maybe what Stanford or USC or Washington would value. So George Kliavkov gets hired, Josh. What was Utah looking for in a commissioner?
You know, Mark Harlan, you know, in conversations with him, he wanted somebody who would be, you know, engaged with the athletic departments. He wanted somebody with college experience in academia. You know, Mark went on local radio here late last week, and, you know, you could hear the disappointment in his voice a little bit that they went in this direction. You know, he mentioned Oliver Luck, who was a friend of his. So, you know, I think Mark was hoping for somebody with more experience, but this is where we are. And, you know, this is a league with, you know, as you said, 12 athletic departments. That's, you know, 12 different sets of problems and 12 different sets of needs. And Utah is no different than anybody else. So, you know, we'll see what happens here, both long term and short term. I think from a Utah perspective, I think, you know, they are always trying to build their brand, expand their brand. They're still a relatively new member of the Pac-12, having only been here for a decade. So I think there is I think there's a possibility that, you know, that this, again, that this could pan out from a perspective of trying to expand your brand.
When I talk to people about Pac-12 football right now, the question in the North Division is Oregon or Washington. And in the South Division, a lot of people talking about Arizona State and USC. Utah, all Kyle Whittingham has done is win and win and win and win and get to the championship game. And why do people overlook Utah, Josh?
Because they're new. They're the new kid on the block. I think that's a huge part of it. There's a perception that, you know, that they shouldn't be competing because they're not really a member of the Pac-12, or they haven't been here long enough, or, you know, they're not a gigantic brand name, right? Like a USC, or to a lesser extent, an Arizona State. I think that's a huge part of it. Another part of it, I don't think, this is just my opinion, I don't think Utah plays a very aesthetically pleasing brand of football. They don't air it out a ton. I mean, that could change now with Charlie Brewer here, but they generally don't air it out a ton. They run the ball, they play defense, they control the clock, and people want to see passing and touchdowns and excitement, and that's just not what Utah's brand is. But what Kyle Whittingham has been doing here for almost 20 years has panned out pretty well. As you said, they've been to two Pac-12 title games. They got to the doorstep of the college football playoff 2 years ago. So might not be what people generally want to watch, but it's been clearly been effective.
I just wonder, you know, had they beat Oregon or had they beat Washington in the championship game, if we would be talking differently about them. We're talking to Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune. You mentioned Charlie Brewer. He starts 3 years at Baylor. He transfers to Utah. What do you expect from him?
You know, Kyle Whittingham has been, I guess I would call it soft selling, a quarterback competition between Brewer and Cameron Rising, who, you know, Rising won the job last year, but only lasted 14 offensive snaps before he injured his shoulder and was lost for the year. I mean, look, this is what I know. We didn't watch spring practice, right? There was no access. So, you know, you have to deal with the Zoom calls and you have to try to glean something from what you're being told on Zoom. Kyle Whittingham did not talk about, you know, Jake Bentley last year the way that he spoke about Charlie Brewer. He was just effusive in his praise of Brewer every time Brewer's name came up. And then we get to the spring game and we actually saw, you know, something happening on the field, and Brewer was impressive. You know, he was 15 of 15. You know, they didn't open up the whole playbook, but, you know, short stuff, medium stuff. They went down the field maybe a couple of times, and he looked really impressive. And now we kind of go into this, you know, gray area of the late spring and the summer, waiting for fall camp to start. And the more I think about it, I think it's going to be hard for Rising to beat out Brewer, just from the standpoint of Rising's been hurt. Even if he is a full go come fall camp, he's going to be, you know, 8 months behind the eight ball in terms of reps, and Brewer's been here since January, and he's been working within the system. So, I mean, look, we'll see what happens come fall camp once these two go at it, but I think it's going to be really hard for Rising to beat out Brewer.
This last college football season, I mentioned it before the break, it was starts and stops and hiccups and U-turns, and Oregon ends up winning the championship. How did that play in Utah, or how did people feel about the season?
It was kind of a mixed bag in terms of what people thought. I think there was certainly a section of the fan base that was just happy to get any type of football season in, right? Especially the way that Utah's began with two games getting canceled like that. I think a lot of people were happy to get, you know, five games in. Another section of the fan base thought it was a, you know, quote, fake season, you know, with the COVID and the stoppages and the whole thing. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. It did not feel super legitimate, at least to me. And then you have people that, you know, it doesn't count, but hey, at least these freshmen got five games in. They didn't have to waste the eligibility. So it was kind of a mixed bag. I think most of this fan base leaned towards, you know, they were happy to get something in. And now there's a lot of optimism for this Utah team coming back. You know, they'll figure out the quarterback situation. There's a question mark at wide receiver. You know, the defense should be pretty stacked, right? They're returning nine starters. So there is optimism that this Utah team could be very, very good. And again, competing for the South title.
In the Pac-12, you know, George Kliavkov coming to the conference from Vegas with his history at MGM raised immediate questions about sports wagering and whether or not that would play a role in, you know, the future or the immediate future of the conference. Here's what he said.
It's a very fine line and one that we'll walk carefully, and we'll do it in partnership with all of the member institutions. I want to just be very clear that anything we do in that space will start with a focus on two things: the integrity of the game and protecting the student athletes. So with that as a baseline for how we're thinking about sports betting, I look at the market and I say that 3 years ago, with the overturning of PASPA by the Supreme Court, We now have more than half of the U.S. states that have legalized sports gaming. The experts say that's going to be a $20 to $25 billion market by 2025. We do know that the legal sports betting market is $150 billion today. So to be clear, people are betting in our states on our sports. Broadly speaking, having that be under government control, taxed, monitored with software and technology that allows you to protect against problem gambling and to protect the athletes, I think is a better solution. But what the commissioner's office will do in this particular respect is do the work necessary to make the recommendations to each of the member institutions and then leave it to the member institutions to decide how to navigate this opportunity.
Let's talk member institutions, because in the state of Oregon, you know, I think people would be okay with wagering on a college event. I think they'd welcome it. How about in Utah?
Oh, I think there's absolutely a segment of sports fans in this state that would gladly, you know, bet on sports legally instead of, you know, driving into Nevada to do so. The problem with that is the state of Utah is never going to adopt legal sports betting, just never. So, you know, this whole situation from that standpoint really does fascinate me. Look, as somebody from New Jersey who was kind of at ground zero a few years back, you know, covering, you know, New Jersey got legal sports betting and Delaware got legal sports betting. And, you know, we saw the influx of legal taxable money that was just flooding into those two states. I think George Kliavkov in this space is very smart, obviously, with his experience having worked, you know, for years at MGM. And, you know, I think the Pac-12 has an opportunity with this guy out front. I think the league has an opportunity to kind of be at the forefront of, you know, of legalized sports betting as it pertains to college campuses or college athletic departments, you know, major Power Five conferences. I don't know how the University of Utah would kind of fit into that whole thing, because again, it's, you know, it's not something that's going to wind up in this state. So how does that affect Utah positively or negatively? Could they share in any potential conference revenue tied to sports betting if they're not actually, you know, supporting it themselves? So there's a lot of questions to be answered on this front, but it's certainly, at least in my mind, it's one of the more fascinating things that that George Kliavkov said last week.
Yeah, because I think there's an obvious revenue stream there. But I kept thinking, okay, it'll be fine in California, it'll be fine in Washington. Then I went, I don't know how Utah, like, is Utah going to be on board with this? But I don't know necessarily that it means that, you know, the University of Utah has to endorse sports wagering. It just may be that, you know, it's a unanimous vote that is really 11-1 behind the scenes as this goes down. Josh Newman is with us, covers Utah sports for the Salt Lake Tribune. How big a deal is the Utah Jazz right now relative to kind of the Utah football, basketball coverage?
Oh, in this moment right now, you know, mid-May, NBA playoffs starting, there's a lot of interest in the Jazz. Look, there's a ton of interest in the Jazz anyway throughout the NBA season. But now it's kind of at a higher level, right, with the Jazz getting the one seed, you know, looking like a very legitimate contender to win the whole thing. Obviously, in terms of college sports, we're in, I guess, quote, a quiet period where, you know, you're in between spring ball and fall camp with, you know, with BYU and Utah State. So in terms of the Salt Lake Tribune's, you know, presence, you know, the sports section, we're obviously all in on Jazz coverage. I'm pretty sure we were like all hands on deck for our Jazz playoff preview, which I contributed to. So high level of interest in the Jazz right now, and that's just going to continue for as long as they keep winning, quite frankly.
What do you think the Pac-12 needs? What, like, short-term, long-term, you know, if we're, you and I are just spitballing, you know, obviously they need revenue, but what do you think the priorities for George Kliavkov should be as the commissioner who walks through the door?
You know, obviously we all know the situation with the media rights negotiations. You know, the current deal ends after the 24 academic year. There's going to be some negotiations to come along to try to get a better deal. That's obviously a major point of emphasis. That's a major reason why George Kliavkoff was hired, to, you know, to squeeze every last dollar and to get the best possible deal for the league, to get more eyeballs on the product, to just to enhance the product on TV and streaming, et cetera, everything that goes along there. I thought he was really smart by, you know, by getting out front and saying that the, you know, the league is behind college football playoff expansion. You know, the Pac-12 has been left out for a number of years now in terms of the college football playoff. They've only sent two teams to the event in its history. You have to be an annual contender in the college football playoff. So I thought it was smart that he brought that up pretty, you know, pretty early in his Zoom call. So, you know, between those two things, you know, recruiting in this part of the country, obviously we're seeing some of the best high school football players and basketball players in some cases on the West Coast, you know, leave the West Coast footprint. I think that needs to be dealt with. That's more of a campus problem, but that's something that George Kliavkoff could maybe dive into. So there's a number of things on his plate. Chief among them, though, is the meteorite stuff.
Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune with us. Before I cut you loose, you got a change of coach in men's basketball. How does that look for Utah basketball in the future?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I think people are very optimistic about Craig Smith just because of the success that he's had at Utah State and South Dakota before that. You know, his Utah State teams, they qualified for three NCAA tournaments. It would have been three had the pandemic not canceled the 2020 tournament. The big point of emphasis right now is they've had a lot of guys hit the transfer portal. I think they've lost nine guys total. Eight of them went to the portal. So there's a little bit of consternation right now amongst the fans about, you know, why couldn't Craig retain at least some of these guys who hit the portal. But they've hit the portal and brought guys in also. So we're going to see what happens here. But I think after the way Larry Krystkowiak's tenure ended, I think people were ready for a change. And I think the fans are happy with the change that has come here with Craig Smith. So, you know, look, they have three open scholarships left. So we'll see what the roster looks like. They're cobbling together a non-conference schedule still. We'll see what that looks like. But overall, I think people are optimistic for the future of the basketball program.
Josh Newman, you kick butt, man. I appreciate you coming on with us. You can read him in the Salt Lake Tribune. Follow him on Twitter. It's a great follow there, and you hear him occasionally on this program. Josh, thank you, my friend.
John, I appreciate it. Thanks.
There he is from the Salt Lake Tribune. I love getting kind of the flavor of what's going on with Utah. I think Utah's a very different university. Like, as you look at the Pac-12, I think that is the real challenge when they go to hire a commissioner. Like, they did this whole thing where they're like, all right, we're going to talk to each other and try to figure out who we want to hire or what kind of person we want to hire. You're talking to Stanford, and then you're talking to Washington State, and then you're talking to Utah, and then you're talking to Oregon. I mean, these things are not that similar, only in that they're Pac-12 members who are very different from each other. So I think it's interesting to kind of get, like, the feel in Salt Lake as it pertains to the possibility of a gaming partnership between the Pac-12 and MGM. Like, you know, a lot of people looked at George Kliavkoff and said, all right, this is, oh, they're going in and they're going to move the headquarters to Vegas, and you're going to see a gambling partnership with the Pac-12. Like, those are all quick assumptions. But let's not forget, you got some members here, including one in Salt Lake City, that might not be all that comfortable with it. All right, our big splash is coming up. Leave it here. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Gloria Navarez, the commissioner of the WCC, will be joining us. Get the State of the Union. Justin Herbert, we'll talk about his second year in the league. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Thorns bulldozed the Red Stars 5-0 in their season opener. My kind of soccer match, Judah. 5-0, come on. Penei Sewell's going to miss minicamp because of COVID-19, obviously, but he says there's no setback there. But that's not our big splash. Our big splash comes out of the softball world.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, we hear a lot about Oregon and Oregon State and softball, but I'm giving a little love today to Portland State. Portland State's softball team headed to Seattle for the NCAA Regionals. They won the Big Sky Softball Tournament as the number 5 seed. They'll head to Seattle for next weekend's NCAA Regionals. Portland State back in NCAA softball for the first time since 2013. They're the number 4 seed in the double elimination Seattle Regional. Their record this season, 15-24. They earned their way there in their own conference tournament by upsetting the number 2 seed, and they went on to win the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. Big win for Portland State. Oregon softball, not a top 16 seed.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald
Face. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.